Okay.
Welcome to A Course in Miracles. So we have open-minded and we have closed-minded. There's nothing in between. It's binary. Closed-minded. You know. You already know. The teacup is full. Why pour more? Save it. You have different tea? Save it. You have better tea? Save it. You have hotter tea? Save it. The cup is full. Closed-minded. Open-minded? Bring it on. Empty cup. Capacity. Welcoming.
Any... What they call child's mind?
Yes, beginner's mind.
Beginner's mind, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Same thing, name same.
Okay. Always a beginner.
Yes. I don't know. Open-minded. Tell me. Open-minded. Maybe. Open-minded. I'll try anything once. Open-minded.
Information not filtered by preconceptions.
Yes. That's right. Not dogged down by the past. Those no blocks or barriers from preconceptions. Dogma down by the past. Yeah, that's some poetry emotion there. Open-minded. Closed-minded.
More like doggerel.
Which?
More like doggerel, not real poetry.
Doggerel?
Doggerel.
Doggerel.
Doggerel. That's D-O-G-G-E-R-E-L-L.
Oh.
That's a kind of poetry. It's poetry, but it's not to be... It's a light, very light poetry.
Okay.
Like Ogden Nash used to write.
All right, then. How would you go from...
He wrote the... Candy is dandy, but liquor is quicker.
Thank you. That's good. That sounds like country song. How do you go from closed-minded to open-minded? Why would you go from closed-minded to open-minded?
Because one's truth and one other one ain't. One don't exist and the other one does.
That's a good reason.
I want to learn more.
I want to learn more. I want to learn more. Yeah. Why'd you go from closed-minded, where you're already set, you think you got it figured out, to open-minded?
It doesn't work.
Because it didn't work.
It's not working so good.
I think it could work better. I want it. I need it to work better.
Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm. I need it to work better. And if you really catch a break through desperation, I don't want what I know.
Okay.
Now that can be pretty scary ground. Unless you hit some kind of bottom. Unless you're disgusted. You can't say that. Because you still trust what you know. Therefore, you'll use what you know when things become difficult. You're closed-minded.
Alcoholic bottom.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. This is ego
centered. Damn closed-minded until you hit bottom when you're an alcoholic.
Yeah. You got a way. You got a method. You got a habit that does do something for you. And you know what it does very well. So why would you stop?
Because it's going to kill you.
Truly satisfying.
It's not really satisfying.
No, it's a crutch. And if you're not really crippled, you don't need one.
It's pretending to be weak. So I want to be strong. I want to be more free.
Want more joy?
I want more joy. And this is not enough joy. This cup full of cold tea ain't cutting it.
Not at all.
It's not enough. It's not right. Not even, not at all. So I want not the old way. I want not this path that I know so well. I know.
Is there another way?
That's somebody answer that.
That's where faith comes in.
We're sort of a leap of faith.
Somebody who's hit freaking bottom. Answer him.
Yes.
No, never.
I don't care if there's not another way. I'm not doing this anymore. Is the answer when you really... I don't know, is that true?
Well, I've been there.
I don't say is there another way until it's absolutely not working.
This is the truth. That is the truth. That's the truth. It's handy to have it already know. Your ego's driving you to be comfortable by knowing already. You're the genius. You know how to do it. You'll take care of you the same way you did last time. And if it didn't work, you just try harder. Yes?
But then once you start doing this, you become willing to try. I mean, you have to become willing to try it in the first place.
Yes.
But then once you start doing it, the reward of it spurs you to keep being willing to do it.
Yes! Now!
Wait. What's the difference between being willing to try it? And I believe that's true for a lot of people.
Yes.
But for me, it was I had to try it.
Yes.
I was driven to try it. I had no choice.
That's right. Yeah, blessed by desperation. Which is really always the case. Nobody jumps into this academically and gets it. I mean, if it does, it's a super exception. I can't say nobody because it's powerful enough that I think it would just wash you. But I haven't met anybody who actually spent time with A Course in Miracles who didn't say, I really need to see more or better or the truth or I'm tired of half answers or, you know, so many.
My truth is making me painful, so I've got to find a different one.
Yes.
At the end of my rope.
End of my rope? I want not. These are my terms. So you might hear me say it time and again, because for me, it really works to get my mind clear. I want not this. Because it hurts, because it's weak, because it's small, because it's a half step, because it's disastrous.
Because I'm miserable.
Yeah.
How do you break the contract?
Right.
What do you mean, how do you break it?
And Cecily says, somehow or another, you cross the bridge. Somehow or another, you do. And you sample stepping up one step when you've been walking down steps for years. It's so easy to take another drink. You've been walking steps down for years. What's it like to step up a step and lift yourself up by your own power? And then the book says, and I got more stairs behind that one. It's inspiring. There's a light in a once very dark room that has been maybe dark for a long time. When you, under your own power, this is key now to A Course in Miracles, it wasn't the book. The book wrote it down. It's written in the book. But it's steps you took. It's a reversal that you somehow, some way, were disgusted enough to try. And a smile came.
I love the idea of it being inspiring. So I've been doing the lessons where you have to do it for the first 5 minutes of every hour. At first I was like, I'll just remind myself. And then I put an app on my phone that like dings. And at first I was like so irritated to have to like do that, or I would skip it or I'd do it or whatever. And now I'm like, it dings and I love the diligence of I just like put, no matter what, I mean, unless I'm like on the phone or driving, but like put my computer down, like stop that second. And it's very empowering.
Wow.
And I just like turn away, like put on my timer, and like I love it.
Wow.
It's
like
cool.
That.
Yeah.
Like that.
It's awesome.
That's self love. And it's starting to sound like a really good addiction.
It's amazing too, because 2 weeks ago you were talking about you were just skimming through them and you were and they were hard, and they weren't hard, but you just didn't feel like you were getting that much out of them. Look at you sounding 2 weeks
later.
Yeah,
well, it goes.
It does go, it does. Week to week, and yeah. you'll see year to year, you'll see 5-year cycles if you're studying Course in Miracles. Pretty much everybody takes a big dip after 4 or 5 years. I don't know what it is. But, you know, get ready.
But read lessons, I'm like, I just can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
Like, the answer to the, like, I have a problem with lessons. I'm getting stuck. Like, right now, it's like, I'm having this, but I kind of know, like, right in, like, the next lesson or two, it will have the answer.
Yeah.
But, so if I just take the next step, I would get the answer to the problem I had.
Yeah.
Yes. Custom made for you, it seems. Yeah.
It's the same thing you kind of said to Cecily, like, you're at that point, but a few more lessons.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And you know, it's like Julie's pendulum. You know, there's a swing. You know, the momentum that was gathered from going down, speed and momentum from the pendulum going down, is exactly what it takes to get up the other side.
Fortunately.
But it's climbing like great. Oh no. Oh yes. And the yes is so good because the no was so bad. Right? Right? It's true. So, question not from whence comes love. You don't know. I can speak for everybody here. You don't know. Well, of course you will know, being what you are. But question not from whence it comes. It is. It is always. And so, as you're going through the doubt, surround it with the highs on both sides. Just know. That's faith. Faith is believing without knowing, right? And what we're asked to do in order to get out of the dream is to wake up. We don't recognize that you're sleeping. And tonight's reading and what we're working on is the attraction to death. How real death seems. How real it must be, in fact. What lives but doesn't die. What doesn't live by killing something else? Even the vegetarians. I hate to break it to you. But they eat stuff that was alive. The dream is woken up from. And you wake up to the waking state. That's unchanged by the dream. The Course calls it a journey without distance. So. Let's take a moment. Just think about this word. Just think about this word. What is an answer? What is an answer? Let's just take a minute and just chill on that.
What is an answer?
Yeah. What is an answer? What does an answer contain that makes it an answer? What does it take for you to be seeking an answer? And what does an answer do? A good answer. What does a good answer do? The perfect answer. What does it do? What does the perfect answer do? Anybody?
It isn't really. In words, I don't think there is a perfect answer.
No?
It's something that inside... For me, I know what it is.
Yeah.
I can feel it just like I can feel the God concept without it, with knowing I can't explain it.
Yes.
Love, I can't explain it, but when you start knowing, you start feeling these things.
Yes.
It's going to work for me, but I can't say anything to anybody that'll explain what I get from this answer.
Yes.
This inner vision, this,
yes,
you know, that little gut feeling I get, the voice, the,
yes,
you know, Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it.
Yes. An experience.
I know it.
And you know
so
it.
So powerful.
The knowing.
I could never explain it.
Knowing arrives.
Yep.
You said it works.
Exactly what I needed to hear.
Yeah. Right, David, you said it works.
Yeah, it works.
It works. Not bad.
And I know it. And I would love to just make, hey, I'm going to give it to that guy. Sorry, don't work. You have to do it on his own.
It works. I like that.
Yeah.
An experience. It's a knowing. It's
a knowing, experiencing, and being.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Very nice. Anybody else? Perfect answer?
Similar. I thought it was a strange question at first, but then I thought to myself that I'd already been thinking about an answer as certainty, direction, and kind of like a knowing, like you're saying, but I, you know, thought back on this experience when you asked about, like, what does it take? Okay, so all this is connected. So what does it take to want to ask for an answer or something like that? And I thought of, like, the desperation piece a lot of times. Like, there's so lack of clarity, especially if you're thinking about big life questions. And then thought about a time in my life where I had 100% absolute conviction come spontaneously. Literally, the only time I've, like, think I've heard a physical voice, call it the voice of God. And I just knew. I mean, I, like, was 17 and moved my life to Mexico. My parents never thought I would do it in a million years. It was just to study abroad, but, like, I was the shyest, quietest kid. And I just knew, like no matter the worst thing that could possibly happen, which at that time was, like, to get raped or something, you know, I was going to be okay because this is what I was supposed to do. Mm. And so it's just, like, that. There's an absolutism. And I think what was interesting at the very end of, I was kind of drifting at the end, and then all of a sudden it just was like love, like that there is the absolutism that is,
yes,
that's like all, it just felt really simple, really, like if there is only one thing to do, then you just do it always, and there is no question what to do.
Yes.
So, I'm sorry that was long.
No, it's great where you're going with that. Because there's a principle in science, in all of the great scientific breakthroughs. Scientists argue and argue about things, you know, that are just postulated, but when something like gravity gets described, they go, oh, well, yeah, I get that. Because it's inclusive. Nobody argued with Newton about gravity when he said there's this force. You know, it's this force. And people think, oh, I never thought about that, that's a force. Yeah, everything goes that way. Did you ever notice? Well, now that you mention it, I do. And it's true, right? So, and the moon, he says, I was thinking about how does the moon keep going around. And it's the same thing. They're like, whoa. And from that comes, you know, why does water settle to a flat? Oh, that's why water goes flat? This is why water goes flat? It's an answer to more than one question. This is why it goes beyond words, because if you try to describe it any one way, well, you're missing all the other things I experienced. And all the other truths about gravity. And all the other things that it does would be ignored if I just said it's only because the pillow hits the ground when I drop it. What about when she drops it? You know, it's beautiful that way. I think that's kind of where you started to move it. It's like, wow.
Yeah, it just felt like this arrow cutting through, that there is only, it's just that simple.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Ah, oh, yeah. It's so certain. Not to be denied or questioned. When you're 17, you didn't question it. You don't question that. Plenty of things a 17-year-old questions, but not that. Wow. What a contrast.
Beautiful. It's just that simple, but only when you feel it.
That's what he said.
Not, you know, not when you don't feel it.
This is so important. Tell me more.
Well, just, I mean, I've had moments of feeling what Julie's talking about, and you're like, it's so simple, it's so, but then you lose it, and then you're back in the ego mind and all that stuff. It becomes complicated, and you can't access, even if you intellectually remember that moment of it being so simple, it's not so simple to access it.
Be it, live from it. There have been answers in your life that showed up, and there were no going back. Hit so deep, so fast, so obvious. Well, there's no going back. There have been no answers like that arrow, like that feeling that you can't. Don't bother trying to put words to it. You just, this is. It is. This is now. Yeah, isn't that interesting? And then there are others that are just great things that you learn, but you don't keep. They don't integrate. You don't become that. You don't live from that. It's just a really great idea. I wish I would have written it down, kind of thing. It might have been great. Isn't that interesting how some go right through to your bones and you go to Mexico? Mom, guess where I am now? No, I'm not at the Dairy Queen.
I think when you get to my age.
Yes.
It's I've had moments like that. I think I talked about them earlier today. But basically, it's the feeling that, when you were talking about feelings, the feeling is I'm uncomfortable. And I need the answer to what is going to make me comfortable. And when I get it, then I am feeling at peace. And peace means I can take a breath, I can relax, everything's right.
Yes.
And then I know I'm in my whatever truth it is.
Yes. You felt it.
I felt it.
Like Cecily was saying. I feel it.
And when I feel it, then I can rest in it. Because mm-hmm. I need to rest a lot. I'm cold. And when I'm feeling it and I can rest in it, then I know that I am in. Then I know that I am following God's will.
Isn't that interesting? You know that you are following.
And I don't have to do anything, or I can do whatever.
Yeah.
But when I'm feeling it, it feels good.
Yes.
So the last part of the thing is what drives you to ask the question.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's when I'm not feeling comfortable, I have to ask.
Uh-huh.
I have to say, what is it that I'm thinking or doing or moving towards,
yes,
or moving,
yes,
away from, that's making me uncomfortable?
Yes.
And then what? And the answer is always peace. It's nothing, anything more than that.
Yes. But you know what's so important about that is that you know you can be comfortable. You're uncomfortable. And somewhere in your mind, you know you can be comfortable, even though you're uncomfortable.
Yes.
This is so important. Everybody should just take a note, because you know that all of you now, if you've done any of the workbook lessons, you know the power of this, and you know, the power of your mind has been shown you, which you've always had before Course in Miracles, you had it. And it's such an important concept that you can, even though you aren't. It's very, very important to understand how much power you have, even if you're not using it.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
It amazes you every time you turn around.
What a gift,
yeah,
to you!
So the answer to why I ask is because I'm driven. Just like I was driven,
yes,
to come to this,
nice,
book.
Oh, yes.
I'm driven.
You're driven.
I'm driven to become more in contact with peace. And
I want more.
I want more.
Like Cecily, once you get a hold of this, you know you can. Now I think I will again. I would like to do this more. It's the starting of a really good addiction. One that actually brings light and love and happiness and joining and sharing and strength and oneness.
So I'm not this far along as Cecily, because I'm doing this really slow. But what's really funny about that is usually the day before I get to a new lesson, something comes up in my life, and I think about it, and I wonder what the answer is. And then the answer is the next day in the lesson. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm being guided here.
Yes.
I'm not doing this on my own. I'm being guided.
Hello.
Yeah.
Welcome, sister. You are loved. This is for you.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, the incident in my life is saying, okay, now this is the next thing you have to learn.
Yeah.
The next lesson is, I started writing all over all the lessons because I can't just read them and go on.
Yes.
Writing them in a way that makes even more sense to me as I turn around a little bit.
It's for you.
So what do you say to the person in the fourth or fifth year when they dip?
I say, I'll see you in a couple of years.
Oh. Like I'm just going to peace out?
Yeah.
I won't do that, but it's a bit rough going, you know? I think...
You can start your own meeting. The more you give, the more you get back.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's true. Well,
you know, I don't know if this is a good answer, but I think for me the answer when I feel down is... The only way I'm going to get myself out of it is to do something I feel like is of service to myself or to another person. And as soon as I feel like, and I ask, the answer comes to me, this is what this person needs. And then I do it, and then I feel good. And I feel like I feel comfortable again because I responded to my need to do service. I don't know what your need is, but that's mine.
Well, in particular, what I'm talking about is just the sort of addiction to a course and the willingness to hear more and to learn more from it. And there comes a point when 4 or 5 years you've been studying it, and you start to think you got it. You kind of know your way around it, and I remember this. I've seen this page before, and maybe there's something else I should be doing or reading. I mean, I want to miss out on the whole rest of the world of spirituality, and after all, there's a lot of other things to study. You know, that's very natural. Yeah. Well, I encourage people to go pick up something else. You won't be throwing your course out. You may try. You won't be able to throw it out. But, I mean, you know, I encourage you to go out and look at something else. Go sit through a Zen meeting or go read some Kabbalah or go read Spalding.
Or Seth.
Or also any sort. And you will... Here, you will read 4, 5, 6 pages of stuff, and it will all be trying to say one sentence you know from A Course in Miracles. 6 pages from one sentence, you know.
Yeah, I don't doubt the message. It's just... I don't know.
So what happens, Julie? Because... If I can actually get there, and I'm not saying I know I have all the answers, I don't, but that idea of being willing, it takes like courage almost to say, what is really the problem here? And ask why or what? Ask exactly, say your problem with it, or ask for the answer to whatever it is, but it takes something, sometimes it takes Dave just to come up and go, dude, what about just this? Simple.
Yeah.
That. And I'm like all around it, like,
yes.
Like I'm going on, and this kid kind of worried, and I don't know what's going on. And well, then what's your question?
Yeah.
What's the problem?
There you go.
And be willing to listen to that. But
what's ready for an answer?
Sometimes it takes something from the out. It feels like it takes something outside. I'm a little bit lost. I'm searching for something.
Uh-huh.
I'm missing it. It's right in here or in my mind.
Yes.
But I'm not seeing it again, just like it was before.
Yes.
Not. How can I be open to?
What does it take to be open for an answer?
It's because it's not the book.
Uh-huh.
I'm not ready to let go of control.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. The book's waiting, but the book doesn't do anything.
It doesn't do anything.
Do
not have an open mind. The book doesn't.
Oh my God! Let's turn to page 360 in workbook.
Thank you.
That.
Nice. Thank you. Perfect time. In the workbook now, page way in the back, really, 360.
Three or two?
360.
Okay.
Kenny, what page?
360 workbook.
Ventriloquist.
I know. It was really amazing. He threw his voice. they were great. All right, you're hired.
Which paragraph?
Paragraph 7.
You knew that, David.
Let's do 7, 8, and 9. You ready, David?
Okay, ready.
Paragraph 7.
Simply do this. Be still and lay aside all thoughts of what you are and what God is. All concepts you have learned about the world. All images you hold about yourself.
What are we talking about? We're talking about this fourth or fifth year person is like, I've had it. I need some motivation. What am I doing? What's next? And what Stefan just described. Please continue.
Empty your mind of everything it thinks is either true or false, or good or bad, every thought it judges worthy, and all the ideas of which it is ashamed. Hold on to nothing. Do not bring this, bring with you one thought the past has taught, and one belief you ever learned before from anything. Forget this world, forget this course, and come with holy, empty hands unto your God.
Period. What an instruction.
Sacred silence.
What an instruction for meditation. To come and empty and be still and present.
Well, that's kind of what I was, when you said the answer, and when you look for the answer and you get an answer, then you stop looking for other possibilities. You know, so that kind of ends it.
Ends it!
So if you keep open to other possibilities, what else is possible?
But what's a really good answer? The perfect answer. I forgot the question. I heard that, and I'm done. I no longer need to have... That's a really good answer. Yes. Okay, next paragraph.
Is it not he who knows the way to you?
Who's he here? Holy Spirit. Yeah, Holy Spirit, God. Yes.
You need not know the way to him. Your part is simply to allow all obstacles that you have interposed between the Son and God the Father to be quietly removed forever. God will do his part in joyful and immediate response. Ask and receive, but do not make demands nor point the road to God by which he should appear to you.
Oh.
The way to reach him is merely to let him be.
Mm.
For in that way is your reality proclaimed as well.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Read that again? How do we do this? 7 and 8? How did you say? Tell us again.
The way to reach him is merely to let him be.
Okay.
For in that way is your reality proclaimed as well.
If I let him be, then I proclaim my reality? Is that how it works?
We're on lesson 74. His will is my will is his will.
Do you see the circle?
It should be followed with whether you know it or not.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that one's like, I want to go, whoa. That means they really are both the same.
It really must be.
But he wants exactly what I've always wanted. What have I been doing all the time?
He's saying they're both the same.
Yeah.
And he's not saying
that, it's really cool.
That's right. And he's not saying that I should get it. He's saying let him be as he is.
Yeah, it's, I like that.
And that's how you wake up. There's a lot of information.
Him as being God.
Yeah.
Okay.
It seems to be a real Zen approach.
It's a real Zen approach for sure. Getting still. Look at the previous paragraph. How much Zen can you get than forget everything and just sit? Yes, the Holy Spirit and God are the same. The Holy Spirit is everything. The Spirit of everything. The Spirit of isness. The Spirit of truth is the Holy Spirit. Well, that's what God is. God is awareness of all. This is how you reconnect with what you are.
In fact, we need to reconnect, presupposes the need of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
From God.
It's the function.
That's just our perception.
Yeah, it's true, but it's why it's the existence of the Holy Spirit. is when a reconnection is perceived to be, even be possible.
Right. I'm saying.
Yes. Yes. And since you can't ever be disconnected, then this path is always open. The bridge is always there. It wouldn't be something that you would do. It's something you'd stop doing. And then you're on the bridge.
That's deep.
That's what the previous paragraph was. They said, hey, stop doing... You know what? Why don't you just chill? Stop doing everything. Everything you think is true, forget it. Everything you think is false, forget it. Forget this course. Forget me. Forget everything. And just come with wholly empty hands into this moment. Because he knows if you do that, if you do that, that's what it means to do nothing. You do that, the truth is now present. It's not something you do. It's something you stop doing. Oh my God, this is getting simpler than I thought. That's why it says, the truth is true, comma, throat clear, and nothing else is true.
What you already are. That's the whole point.
It's the whole point. It's what you already are.
That's why when I have a problem, when I've been triggered, or when I thought I'd done something wrong or whatever, and I sit down and say, what do I need now?
Yes.
If I start thinking about what the possible answers are, I have to say to myself, stop that. And as soon as I say stop that, something comes that feels absolutely true.
Just like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's beautiful. Yes.
And what you've said over and over again is, our thoughts are what come from our feelings, and when the feelings aren't good, then our thoughts aren't good, as far as I'm concerned.
That's it. That's it. Yeah. Yeah. It's a circle. Thoughts and feelings is a circle. And before course, it starts with a thought. I mean the feeling. Before course, it starts with a feeling, and then you think about what you felt, and then you try to make sense of it. Mm-hmm. After course, the same circle now. Okay, you're still in a body, and things will happen, and there's emotions. After course, the cycle starts with the thought, and then you have the feeling. And if you don't like it, you change the thought next time around. See, and the feeling changes, and it lightens. It gets lighter and lighter, and you're in a corkscrew out to the light. Before course, you can't change the feeling. You got what you got. You try to change the feeling instead of change the thought before course, and that is really, really difficult, because the feeling exists because of your commitment to it. I said the feeling exists because of your commitment to it. Try to change that when it exists because of your commitment to it. But after course, the feeling exists because of your thought. And what does it take to change a thought? How long does it take to change a thought? It's really quick. It happens before you can think how long it took to happen. Manual for Teachers runs you through this in five different ways. How long is an instant? 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 Yes.
Back to what is an answer?
Yes.
For the answer, an answer for me is what makes me feel good, which is what I said before, but it also feels like I'm an absolute truth.
Yeah,
the truth feels good.
The truth feels good. The truth feels good. Even if it's bad news, it feels good. There's a relief, isn't there?
Yes.
Only one there is.
Hello. Huh. How about that?
Imitations are not good enough.
How about that?
The truth. Only the truth is healing.
Isn't that that's what healing is? Even if it's bad news.
And that's the answer.
There's an answer.
That's the answer.
That's the answer. It's a good answer. Yes.
So, I'm kind of hesitant to bring this up because I feel like it's so tentative for me. But I have this long, damning, difficult relationship with my teenage daughter, and I had this thought a few days ago that I wanted to go to her and say, what are we doing? Like, let's just stop having a difficult relationship. Like, couldn't it just be as simple as that? Like, why don't we just stop and not have a difficult relationship? And so I was going to go and talk to her, but I knew it wouldn't work. And then I was like, why don't I just stop? Or I just stop my beautiful relationship with her. And then I kind of just like was like, I'm done doing it that way. And then, but it's only been like a couple days, and I'm scared that I'm going to go back.
Certainly.
I'm scared. And so that's why I'm like, ugh. But yes. It was really a cool realization. Like, I could just stop.
Julie, how many people does it take to have a holy relationship? One. You bet.
Which is a miracle.
That is a miracle. Because you think a relationship is equally two, both contributing, both if she's a problem, then I got a problem.
Would have never figured it out.
What did you say?
I would have never figured that out. That it only takes one for a whole relationship. And I still don't really understand it or believe it. I just have faith in that. I believe, kind of, I just don't, yeah. I can't grasp that.
It has the power, it has answer power. It's got this kind of feeling of answer quality.
There's that kind of knowing and experiencing about it that you can't explain.
Like what you went through.
It's true.
Yeah, it's like,
wow, this is...
I just kind of know it. Hey, that works.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
My
ego knows nothing. My ego knows nothing.
Your ego knows nothing about it. That's right.
But
you do this paragraph that says you go steal. Forget everything you know about your daughter. Forget everything you think about your daughter is true. Forget it. Everything you think is false about your daughter, forget that too.
Everything.
Just come with holy empty hands into the moments with her. And you're free. And only you can do that. There is nobody can come in and fix or change you. Or her.
And that doesn't mean you're not going to slip once in a while.
Right.
It doesn't mean that. Today I was having a wonderful relationship with my granddaughter who's going to move in with me. And at the very end, I tried to push her to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And when she was walking out the door, and I thought, okay, Luann.
Yep.
Go back to just loving her, and that's all you need to do.
That's right. And don't be shy about being vocal. You definitely don't, I would not recommend telling the other person what you're trying to do ahead of time. You know, just do it. And you need to learn how to do it, like you are. But that is choosing the Holy Spirit and making each moment holy. That's giving you a chance to hear the Holy Spirit because you're just going to be present. You can't bring the baggage from the past, and that's the biggest block this book is telling you about, as you well know.
It was just like this cool realization that the only reason something's going the way it is because I'm carrying around this notion or this narrative about how it is, and like, I don't have to do that. Like, it's so crazy.
What if you just lived today for today?
Yeah. It's hard to describe.
Very hard to describe.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting way to do parenting.
So is that just stopping? Stop.
It's letting go of the past.
Is it a surrender?
It is absolutely a surrender of all the things you don't want.
Yeah, stopping all the thoughts or...
The thinking, yeah, the thoughts.
Yeah.
Why can't the other person just be who they are?
Why can't they be like I want them to be?
I gotta tell you, accepting other people for whoever they are is like really challenging for me. I don't understand.
Right?
Yeah. That's what just said. Stopping is that you don't try to understand. You just don't. Just don't.
I don't understand.
And you know what you're left with, as far as I'm concerned, when you do that, the moment you could do that, what I'm left with is there's only one relationship here, and it's me. And if I can, like when I said to myself, all right, Luann, you went one step too far, you're pushing. Then I said, and that's okay because you're you and you make mistakes, and it's okay because you're loving.
At that point, you can open your mouth. Go straight to her and say, you know, I take that back.
Yeah.
Don't explain what you're doing. Don't explain why you took it back. Just say, you know what? I take that back. why don't you just eat that ice cream right now? Or whatever it is you tried to... Yeah. Yeah, because you're training you, you're not training her. Yes, very good. Absolutely. Good, good, good. Okay, so one more paragraph.
The Holy Spirit as well.
Say again?
I would give it to the Holy Spirit, personally. Nice. I mean, or try to. I'm not perfect either.
That's open-minded.
But it's helped me, the Holy Spirit, in the past. I mean, I can't find a solution, and I'm trying to think of this and think of that, and there's no way in hell I'm going to remember everything you guys said, bless your hearts. And I'm here tonight to actually apply to my life.
Yeah.
So I found it, giving it to the Holy Spirit. I tried it.
Yes.
It worked.
Yes.
For me.
Oh, yeah.
And just not thinking anything about it, not having an opinion. Just
yes.
Like you're saying.
Yes.
And I don't know shit.
Not having an opinion.
Thank you.
Goodness.
And then, I've said this before, but not long after, I do, personally, I mean, it's, for me, from where I come from, I get a feeling of peace.
Yeah.
I get that feeling of peace.
Yes.
And it's happened. It happens every time.
Wow.
I don't do it a lot, but...
But you know that you can. And I'll tell you, this is the good news in this book, is you've done that once. Honestly, you are done. Because now you know that you can, the power of your mind, you're not a victim.
It's in the toolkit, as they say.
It's in the toolkit and you've used it. But there's a metaphysical awakening that has occurred if what you said you've done. Even though you may never do it again, you can't go back from understanding your freedom. You can't go back from understanding the power of your own mind. You can't go back from recognizing that you are not a victim. Mm-hmm. You can't go back, see? Even though you may deny it and do the old things over and over again, hey, you've grown. You've woken up. This is yours. And that is how you can go through door A. Only way.
So this is just so, thank you everyone, because I'm identifying something, which is, I've done that enough times, I'm right there with you, it works, I know, I have this empowerment, it's like, I have this total faith and belief, and I have this ego that just rages, and I feel like I literally, like the I rule my mind, which I alone can rule, was like on my, I was like, no, it is not true. I do not feel like I'm in control of my mind right now. And so the feeling that I'm having right now is this, that I'm living, I believe so much in both of these things that I am trying to live both of them. I'm living in two worlds.
Yes.
And because I still have so much conviction, like you just expressed, John, like, and I can have this beautiful moment of release, and then I'm like, literally, I've probably lived in the rehashing and reliving, you know, in my waking hours, like, you know, 2/3 to 3/4 of them this week. And it's like, uncontrollable, and I'm thinking to myself, like, it is a lie to think that I can believe that I can be these two worlds 100% of each of them. There is no 200%, and 50-50 is not cutting it, but like, I don't know how to, because it's, I don't know, I'll have to talk later.
No, it's excellent, because everybody's going right with her with you, because the 50-50 means that you're taking from each. The Course says it this way. It says, your body will serve your spirit, or your spirit will serve your body. Mm. And never do the two cross. So you're always making a choice for material or for spirit. And it's this 50-50 thing. And so while...
Isn't it an either or thing?
It is an either or thing. Absolutely. It's mutually exclusive. But you don't do both. You don't raise your materialism and your spiritualism at the same time.
But what's there is choice.
Correct. It's done by choice.
It's always by choice.
You're
so
never
you can live 100% in spirit.
Your spirit will serve your body. If you're going to be a great bodybuilder and make it all the way to the Olympics, your spirit will come in with motivation, with perfection on food and learning and friendships and
every next step.
Oh my God, you'd just be empowered by your spirit.
So what I think our job is to remember to go to our spirit for every single moment we can do it.
Yeah. Depends on if you like it.
Well, I do like it.
Is it working for you?
Well, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. But one, it doesn't mean you look all from spirit, because you're here in a body, so you're going to end up doing this from vacillation to oscillation.
Right, and I think that what's occurring to me now is that it's like, and so I think seven is so important. I've gone back and forth a million times before. What feels different now? It's almost like this accumulation. It's like I see the entire belief system now. It's not just one circumstance. Mm-hmm. So it's like this entire belief system, I can drop into truth and totally feel it and believe it, and then I can be totally consumed. So it's more, it used to be that vacillation was like a situation, and now I feel like it's this accumulation of the whole, I can see the whole thing and I'm still trapped in it. Or over here, it's like so beautiful. Anyway, I can't put it to words. I'll just leave it there. But
is it clearer now, Julie?
Well, this conversation has helped. Yeah.
Sounds like you're aware of it, and that's really all that matters. Once you're aware of what it is, this is doing that.
Yeah, I can't. This
let it be, and it'll dissolve itself. It seems like you're at that point where you're doing that.
I think maybe it'll
Anthony.
Can I do it another musical analogy?
Yes, please.
Because I'm a piano player, I've heard the exact same piece played by two different people. Don't miss a note. One sounds like a sewing machine, and one is completely inspired.
Why?
Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
Yeah. One is filled with spirit, one is not.
Can't explain.
That's right. That's right. And this
is a great example because you can't explain it, but yeah, he just explained
it. You can feel it.
He explained that thing.
You can feel it.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
And it's not written on the page. They're each holding the notes. You know, they're doing it.
I've had that experience.
Full note, half note, quarter note. Very good. Pause. Great. Good for you.
So the question you asked, he kind of answered it.
So it depends on the chicken. Brilliant.
Yeah, sorry.
So I'll go ahead and explain it anyway.
Yeah. Another musician. Yeah. Yeah. Let's read the next paragraph. They're talking about asking for the Holy Spirit. Julie, you there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so today we do not choose the way in which we go to Him, but we choose to let Him come. And with this choice we rest, and in our hearts and open minds, His love will blaze its pathway of itself. What has not been denied is surely there, if it be true and can be surely reached. God knows His Son and knows the way to Him. He does not need His Son to show Him how to find His way. Through every open door, His love shines outward from His home within and lightens up the world in innocence.
May as well read 10. It's kind of nice, too. Stefan, hit it for us.
Father, we do not know the way to You, but we have called and You have answered us. We will not interfere. Salvation's ways are not our own, for they belong to You, and it is unto You we look for them. Our hands are open to receive Your gifts. We have no thoughts we think apart from You, and cherish no beliefs of what we are or who created us. Yours is the way that we would find and follow, and we ask but that Your will, which is our own as well, be done in us and in the world, that it become a part of heaven now. Amen.
Beautiful.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Nice, thank you.
This line is funny. Lillian laughed when it was being read. As God knows His Son and knows the way to Him. He does not need His Son to show Him how to find His way.
Yeah, right?
I think if you do it this way, then that might work out.
Right. Yeah. Hey, Dad, I know better.
It's a suggestion, guys. Yeah. Talk that stuff on my own.
Yeah.
My ego.
God, I haven't been here so long, I have to go look at it before I tell you the page number. Let's see if I'm right. Turn to page 247 in the workbook real quick. I just want you to read. We touched this a few times, and I just wanted you to read this beautiful passage on 247 in the workbook, paragraph 13, sentence 1. Kenny, you want to battle that one out? Just the first sentence. 13.
Heaven itself is reach, bearing, width, bearing. Yeah, I don't want
to do it. Okay. All right, Bridget. Paragraph, just that first sentence.
Heaven itself is reach with empty hands and open minds, which come with nothing to find everything and claim it as their own.
Wow. Well, Leanne, would you read that same sentence?
Heaven itself is reached with empty hands and open minds, which come with nothing to find everything and claim it as their own.
You too, Bridget. Same sentence. Cecily.
Heaven itself is reached with empty hands and open minds, which come with nothing to find everything and claim it as their own.
Now, everybody together, let's read this sentence three times. You know, see how much I think about this sentence. Together. Heaven itself is reached with empty hands and open minds, which come with nothing to find everything and claim it as their own. Heaven itself is reached with empty hands and open minds, which come with nothing to find everything and claim it as their own. Last time. Heaven itself is reached with empty hands and open minds, which come with nothing to find everything and claim it as their own. Thank you very much.
There's supposed to be like a comma after nothing.
Yeah. It's kind of wrong. Like, nothing to find everything. Nothing to find everything. It's kind of like a statement. It's like weird.
Yes.
Very well, weird. You come with it nothing.
All
with
the nothing. Yeah. You know, at the end, you finally can say it.
Yeah.
It's like nothing to find everything.
Come with nothing. It come with you. It's important that your teacup is empty.
Right.
If you're going to put more in the teacup. If you're going to allow an answer, you can't know
it's
already.
The opposite of the world.
What?
It's
yes.
The opposite of the world. The
opposite of the world. Yes.
Isn't it like if you can say it without a comma, then you're kind of getting it finally? How many times do you read it?
Yeah, you will own it. Once you understand it, you will own it.
Yeah.
Heaven itself.
Empty hands. Should be the name of this particular meeting.
Nice. Beautiful. It's reached. Wow. With empty hands and open minds, which come with nothing, to find everything and claim it as their own. Wow.
That kind of implies on purpose. Is that true? To come with nothing
yes.
in order to find everything.
It implies with purpose. That's correct.
Okay.
It's very intentional. Heaven itself is reached with empty hands and open minds.
Isn't that kind of saying that if our mind, if they don't come empty, the mind can't be open?
That's correct.
And that's a big statement.
If your hands are full and your mind is closed, this is the opposite state of what it means to come to heaven, to come to understanding, to come to freedom. To come to back to being a creator. See, if you know already what you're going to do, it will not be a creation.
It's kind of like me and Stefan had a hit on that before he came to class.
Yeah.
Just with attack. We're looking and realizing, whoa, we're getting in front of it. No one can attack you. You really can't be attacked in front of you. It's hitting us. So it's kind of like you're empty because.
Yeah.
As we were looking at being attacked, we were looking in this book here and reading about, you know, Socrates, and it's like, whoa. So we realize that you can't be attacked.
Yeah.
you really can't. And when you see that finally, you realize that person's not attacking you, but what they're when you think the attack, you know, is going to be a huge. It's like if I'm driving a truck and I back up one time and it goes perfect, well, it worked, but I only have one time, so I don't know what happens when it fails. Mm-hmm. So then I had to go learn how to back it up, make every mistake in the book.
Yes.
But that was all my learning from.
Yes.
So when they attack you, they're saying something nice because one thing. So when they attack you, they're giving you so many awesome opportunities to see cool and learn cool things.
It's a call for love.
Yeah. Don't look at it as an attack because you will get... Because they're not giving you this cool shit. So
you have to defend.
The holy relationship, that's one of the keys you have to understand for that relationship. When you see they're not attacking you.
Yes.
They're giving you all kinds of cool things to learn.
Yes, indeed.
Wow.
Yeah, you need a miracle for that.
And when we get attacked, we think, well, I don't want this. This is, wait a second, I'm never attacked.
Yeah.
I'm really not going to feel bad from being attacked.
Yes.
That's what I'm worried about.
That's right.
But that feeling of, it can't be there. So don't worry about it. You'll never feel that. You made that up.
You have to release it. That's what forgiveness is.
Yeah.
You start with a miracle that you can never be attacked. That's a miracle. You can't be attacked.
That's like so cool.
And that forgiveness is you're not being
attacked. I got it by talking with in a holy relationship with Stefan. I'm listening to what he's saying. We're doing this every time I get hissed from now on. It's always with him talking to somebody. Usually Stefan. He's going to say something.
Relationships have that power.
It isn't so cool. It's just
very good.
We're trying to do that for a year.
I'm going
to
say Anthony.
You know, another reason Andrew said it. When you're attacked, the first thing you want to do is defend. And if you defend, you're going to feel awful. As soon as I feel awful, I know that I've done the wrong thing. I don't need to defend
anymore. I don't want to defend, first thing.
I don't want to defend anymore.
I want to attack.
You'll attack back.
Yeah, let me attack. This is the defending. I want to attack.
Defense
back.
Is for wimps.
Yeah, who needs to defend? The best defense is a good attack.
That's right.
You're going to get them before they get you. They never do it again.
Finish
off. God bless you. You went for the positive part. I just had to realize you want to defend. No, I want to attack.
I don't think women are taught to defend and attack.
Yeah.
We learn it sometimes, but I don't think that's how women
are. Yeah, when you say you do it, I'm thinking you're talking to everybody. This is what you do. And I'm saying, I don't want to attack. Defending gets old.
Yeah, also she does.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is, you don't want to attack until you have that sense you need to defend.
So it's all right. You two.
I don't see any conflict here.
You're talking around two sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
And so there are two lessons in the workbook that Brother John is talking about. And one is lesson 135, and it says, if I defend, I am attacked.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's so clever. It's so clever.
So in this sentence, what's the it? The it?
Which one?
In that sentence that I was trying to read.
Claim it as their own. Claim it as their own.
Oh, yes.
Everything.
Everything.
Claim it.
Everything. It. The it is... God. The it is everything.
Yeah.
It's everything. Everything that you ever wanted or could want would have to be all-inclusiveness. And so it's everything. Anything less than knowing that everything is at your fingertips will be seeking. And we know that seeking is only proof of lack. Huh. So that it has a lot behind it.
Okay, Anthony.
Anthony, you're
right. I have no idea if this relates to what we're talking about or not, but it came to my brain. When I was in Catholic school, I was in the nun handed out a Dixie cup to everybody and said, "This Dixie cup represents the church. What will you do with it?" And some students wrote on it, "Yay, God," and all this other stuff. And some people didn't know what to do, and other people ripped the cup apart, and they came to me. She didn't like talking to me because I told a smartass, and I said, "You gave me an empty cup. I would drink from it, but it's empty." Hope she didn't like that.
success.
So who is able to fill your cup up?
What's that? That's my point, is that
what is able to fill your cup up?
I guess that's a great question.
I think this.
Okay, turn to page 417 for an answer. 417, paragraph 5. 417 in the text. Bridget, what page?
417.
In the text. Very good.
Very good.
Okay.
Very good. What page again?
417. 417. In the text.
Yes.
You got this.
We've done this one before because I've got writing all over it.
The incorruptible body.
Yes, incorruptible body. The incorruptible body. You know about the corruptible body?
Do we ever have a post-it on that page?
Do we ever? Let's look at the incorruptible body. So who's up for a full paragraph? I think, Bridget, you're ready to read a full paragraph. Would you read for us paragraph 5?
Paragraph 5?
Yep.
You have another dedication that would keep the body incorruptible and perfect as long as it is useful for your holy purpose. The body no more dies than it can feel. It does nothing of itself. It is neither corruptible nor incorruptible. It is nothing. It is the result of a tiny mad idea of corruption that can be corrected.
Mm-hmm.
For God has answered this insane idea with his own, an answer which left him not, and therefore brings the Creator to the awareness of every mind which heard his answer and accepted it.
Yes. So this is some of the metaphysics of A Course in Miracles, where we're going to pull you away from the closed-mindedness about the body and its power and what it actually is. So, going back over it real quick, you have another dedication that would keep the body incorruptible and perfect as long as it's useful for your holy purpose. Remember, we're talking about death here. The previous paragraph, we're talking about black draped, you know, death, and how certain death seems. Now it says, well, you know what? You have another dedication. Rather than be dedicated to death, you could have a dedication that would keep the body perfect for as long as you needed it. Really? Tell me more. Well, all right, then turn the page. You see, the body no more dies than it can feel. The body doesn't feel anything. You feel things through your body, but the body itself, no, it's just a conduit. Touch the hot stove, if we're up to the body, it would say, well, I'm just going to rest here and just chill, even though it would burn the fingers right off. If it couldn't feel, your brain didn't make sense of this is a problem, the body doesn't care. The body doesn't care. The body doesn't feel. The body's not happy. The body's not sad. The body doesn't come and the body doesn't go. Oh, right. I care about the fingers. I don't want them burned. Having another hand is not... Having 5 extras isn't the same to me. I want all 10. I care. So I'm going to move my hand when it gets something hot. The body did not do that. Wake up. It is you who are borrowing an identity of a body which you do not have. This is a substitute reality, being in a body. Yeah. Next sentence. 3. It's a little short, but it's pretty potent. And it's Jesus taking the hammer and hitting the same nail over as he does. You know how he rolls. The body does nothing. It does nothing. He knows, because I just spoke about. He knows that it is you who have the power of spirit that would animate this figure that you've made. It's really dead. The body's already dead. When we talk about life, the body neither lives nor dies. It's not life. You are life. Okay, now. So the body does nothing. Well, he draws back his hammer, and here it comes again. Sentence 4. Of the body itself, of itself, it's neither corruptible nor incorruptible. Boom! He blows the hammer down with that. He says, the body doesn't take on flavors at all. The body's not guilty. The body's, no. All right, he hits it again. Again. Sentence 5. It is nothing. The body's nothing. It doesn't have an opinion. The body doesn't have a history. The body doesn't have a story. The body doesn't care where it goes, what it's done. It doesn't even care who it touches.
But are you suggesting that who we really are is corruptible or not corruptible? Like, if it's not the body that these things are, that we are all those things?
We
can be corruptible or incorruptible?
We can dream of corruption or dream of being incorruptible. This is a dream.
It's also a choice to dream it.
Yes. That's right. Dreams come from a dreamer. Dreams are not a victim situation. So, the truth is, all is love, all is good. You are an extension of God, not a victim of God. You are inheriting all the power of God. Not some, all. Which is why nobody's coming to save you. Sorry. Good news, bad news right there.
Yeah.
You can dream of being corruptible, but that doesn't make it so. But it's the dreamer, folks. It's the dreamer that's real, not the dream.
Okay, so my question maybe is something wondrous. So when we do what it said earlier that we read about, which is we come with no thoughts, no preconceptions, no nothing.
Yep.
Then we find heaven.
Uh-huh. And claim heaven as our own.
And claim heaven as
not just that you find it. You claim it as yours.
Okay.
That's enlightenment. Completion. Atonement.
So when I hear the word enlightenment, what I want to say is entruthment.
Sure.
I think of light. When you say you're going to find the light or imagine mm-hmm. the light or see the light, mm-hmm. I think I'm being told to see the truth, see the...
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay. So when you've opened your mind, nothing's there, and I tell myself, shut up, quit thinking, mm-hmm. nicely.
Mm-hmm.
and I do it, and then I get a thought. Is that thought not real too? Feels like a thought that came from the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit is a translator. That's all the Holy Spirit's job. And the Holy Spirit's job is over when you're in heaven. And so here where you are not in heaven, you need a translator.
Okay.
And if you're interested in learning the language of love, or the language of light, or the language of truth, take your pick. All the same.
Yeah.
Then, but you're in a world of darkness and falsity and hate, a translator is needed. And so those thoughts, if they're Holy Spirit thoughts, they are answers.
Okay.
Answers to honest questions will always make you feel peaceful. Even if it's bad news.
Not even bad news.
It's not all your bad
that
news.
That was the answer to the question that you had earlier is what's a perfect answer?
Yes.
And I said, perfect answer is you get what you need, not what you want.
Yeah.
again. Back to music, Rolling Stones.
Exactly!
But you know, the thing is, if it's not what you want, if you think it's not what you want, do you still feel peaceful with it? Because I feel peaceful with every answer that I think came from, that I believe, that I feel I know came from
That's right. the Holy Spirit. That's right. There's something that cuts right through what the ego wants when you're in the presence of truth.
And
that's what David was talking about. He says, you know what?
You need.
What?
And then you'll end up wanting what you need.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
at some point, then your want becomes the same as the need.
When you wake up to the truth of it,
then you want what you have, and it's like, cool.
Yeah. What would you
As
have?
Opposed
you
to trying to get rid of.
Man.
The other one was trying to get rid of.
Yeah, all right.
What'd you say, Anthony? What'd you say, Anthony? Tell me again, I missed that.
No, I was like, whoa, wow.
No.
Yeah, it was mine.
Yeah.
Okay, so what? So if I'm in a bad place and I want an answer to it, and I get an answer that I'm not expecting and didn't think I was ever going to get, it still feels good, even if it's directing me to do something that previously I didn't want to do or say. It still feels good.
Yes. Yes. Peace is both the way and the answer.
Okay.
Simultaneously. What?
That's, I mean, I say glory be to God because, yes. I mean, that's like a miraculous thing.
Yes.
Right there.
It's a very comforting.
It's not of the world.
Yes. Yes. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but it sure feels right.
It feels right.
And through it, doors are opened. Peace is both the way and the answer. The way, the truth, and the light. It is peace. It's the way through door A we talk about.
What's really nice about that is if you're feeling peaceful, you know you are operating under the will of God and of your own real will.
Mm-hmm.
Not the ego's idea, but of its will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The ego is the result. The body is the result of a tiny mad idea of corruption that can be corrected. For God has answered this insane idea with His own. An answer with a capital A, which left God not, and therefore brings the Creator to the awareness of every mind, which heard His answer and accepted it. Do you see the circle? You see how the answer obliterates the question? Because the question came, the question would come out of a not knowing. And the answer comes from a knowing, from a being, the Creator itself, delivering to it complete, to the questioner completion. There's no more question in the presence of this perfect answer.
There's just an isness of it.
There's an isness of it that is so peaceful, that is so satisfying, that feels so deep, it is a reflection of your truth. Everything you are. That everything is present. Nothing lacking.
You know what? And if you extrapolate from that, everything is present, and that means the only thing that's present is love.
Yes. That's right. See how the same love and everything are converging. Same, same. This is Christ's vision. This is the atonement. These are things that your mind will touch on, and a light will be lit within you that you cannot forget. It's a holy instant. When you settle around these terms we're talking about and they cross like that, that's what a holy instant is. And it means that you are waking up from the dream toward the truth. You can't go back. A lightness of being occurs in each of these steps of enlightenment that you can't go back from, because it's you being born. You being born. That's what you are. An full extension of God. Let's see how it applies now. You can drop this page.
we only have a few minutes left, but now let's get to work on
what we're studying.
But what we're working on in the chapter, turn to I'm not sure what page it is. Lesson 163. And let's dig in now with all that we've just said.
163, page 309.
Thank you. Okay. You know, we just maybe have enough time to read through this. I'll try not to interrupt. Luann, are you up?
Yep.
Number okay. One?
Yep.
Death is a thought.
There is no death. The Son of God is free.
Death, I had already read that in my head.
Okay, yeah.
Death is a thought that takes on many forms, often unrecognized. It may appear as sadness, fear, anxiety, or doubt, as anger, faithlessness, and lack of trust, concern for bodies, envy, and all forms in which the wish to be as you are not may come to tempt you. All such thoughts are but reflections of the worshipping of death as Savior and as giver of relief.
Embodiment of fear, the host of sin, God of the guilty, and the Lord of all illusions and deceptions, does the thought of death seem mighty? For it seems to hold all living things within its withered hand, all hopes and wishes in its blighting grasp, all goals perceived but in its sightless eyes, the helpless, and the sick bow down before its image, thinking it alone is real, inevitable, worthy of their trust, for it alone will surely come.
All things but death are seen to be unsure, too quickly lost, however hard to gain, uncertain in their outcome, apt to fail the hopes they once engendered, and to leave the taste of dust and ashes in their wake, in place of aspirations and of dreams. But death is counted on, for it will come, the certain footsteps when the time has come for its arrival. It will never fail to take all life as hostage to itself.
Would you bow down to idols such as this? Here is the strength and might of God himself perceived within an idol made of dust. Here is the opposite of God, proclaimed as Lord of all creation, stronger than God's will for life. The endlessness of love, heaven's perfect, changeless constancy. Here is the will of the Father and the Son defeated finally and laid to rest. Beneath the headstone, death is placed upon the body of the Holy Son of God.
Too good.
Unholy in defeat, he has become what death would have him be. His epitaph, which death itself has written, gives no name to him, for he has passed to dust. It says, but this, here lies a witness, God is dead.
Your epitaph is what's on the tombstone, right?
On the what?
Epitaph is what's written on the tombstone.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Here lies a witness that God is dead. If you die. Good, please continue.
And this, it writes again and still again, while its worshippers agreed, and kneeling down with foreheads to the ground, they whisper faithfully that it is so.
That death is so. He's died. Death, he's dead. Death is real. This proves death is real. My heart is heavy. My head's on the ground. And death is real.
And your body never held life in the first place, so death might be real for the body, but life is still going.
That's right. Life is untouched by death. Let's continue.
It is impossible to worship death in any form, and still select a few you would not cherish and would yet avoid, while still believing in the rest. For death is total. Either all things die, or else they live and cannot die.
Whoa.
No compromise is possible. For here again we see an obvious position, which we must accept if we be sane. What contradicts one thought entirely cannot be true unless its opposite is proven false.
Whenever you're ready.
Pass, please.
Okay.
The idea of the death of God is so preposterous that even the insane have difficulty in believing it. For it implies that God was once alive and somehow perished, killed apparently by those who did not want him to survive. Their stronger will could triumph over his, and so the eternal life gave way to death, and with the Father died the Son as well.
Death's worshippers may be afraid, and yet can thoughts like these be fearful? If they saw that it is only this which they believe, they would be instantly released. And you will show them this today. There is no death, and we renounce it now in every form for their salvation and our own as well. God made not death. Whatever form it takes must therefore be illusion. This, the stand we take today, and it is given us to look past death and see the life beyond.
I think of the last one as a prayer.
Yes, indeed.
Our Father, bless our eyes today. We are your messengers, and we would look upon the glorious reflection of your love, which shines in everything. We live and move in you alone. We are not separate from your eternal life. There is no death, for death is not your will. And we abide where you have placed us, in the life we share with you and with all living things, to be like you and part of you forever. We accept your thoughts as ours, and our will is one with yours eternally. Amen.
Beautiful. Yeah. See that last sentence? We accept your thoughts as ours, and our will is one with yours eternally. Do you see the circle? Oh man, let's have a circle. Take a deep breath. And so you live. But it's not really your body that's living, you see. It's not as your body is living. And this won't be something that you know. You can practice with ideas that you're not a body, that you're free, that you're still as God created you. We got a big hint tonight on how, you know, after you work through the ups and downs, you finally arrive, whatever that is. What's it going to look like? We were told in lesson 133. It said, heaven itself is reached with empty hands, open minds, which come with nothing. To find everything and claim that as their own. This is the passage away from the world of falsity. You would come with empty hands of everything that was untrue anyway. Why would you possibly want it? You wouldn't. And an open heart. Because the closed heart is so burdened. And you're done. And you're free. And so only the open heart remains, being just what it is. Open. You come, you bring with you nothing. You bring with you nothing. Which is very easy to be true. Because in that moment, even if it's your children or your pets or something you really would like to hang on to, you know it's nothing. You're free. So you bring with you nothing to find everything. Everything that is true, everything that is worthy, everything that you can keep, which is exactly what you can give away. You find everything, and you claim that as your own, of course. For your will and God's will are indeed one, always have been. This is what happens in a celebration. Let's start celebrating now. Thank you. Amen.
I have to tell you guys something. I'm never going to say I'm old again.
Okay.
We won't either.
Yeah, or short. Old or short.
Either way.